This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Kelly Freeman. America's largest ever homeland security drill is taking place this week. A mock terrorist attack involving a radioactive dirty bomb is underway in Seattle, Washington. A fake bioterror attack is taking place this week in the Chicago area. The simulations involve thousands of emergency workers and is costing $16 million. Other smaller drills are taking place in Washington, D.C. and Virginia. In Chicago, the principal at Glenbrook North High School has recommended several students be expelled following a hazing incident a week ago. The off-campus activity involved senior girls forcing juniors to eat dirt and pet food. They were smeared with feces and other materials. Principal Michael Riggle says hazing and assault laws were broken and the students must be punished. And President Bush is responding to those who suggest things are bogged down in post-war Iraq.
Hadn't been there very long, by the way. We will stay as long as necessary to make sure that the Iraqi people have a government of, by, and for the Iraqi people, and then we'll come home.
The president was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, promoting his economic stimulus plan. Meanwhile, veteran diplomat Paul Bremer has arrived in Baghdad to take over as Iraq's new civilian administrator. His arrival marks a Bush administration shakeup only 3 weeks into the post-war reconstruction of Iraq. Bremer will take over for retired General Jay Garner. An emergency response team from the Houston chapter of the American Red Cross is in Oklahoma, helping with the recovery efforts after devastating tornadoes destroyed homes and businesses in the Oklahoma City area. Gary Hightower is with the crew.
Well, we're just going where the people have been displaced in their homes and stuff, and we'll go there and we'll feed them on site. We'll feed the rescue workers, some of the police officers and things that are standing by, National Guard if they're there, and we'll just do whatever's necessary to help alleviate some of the suffering.
Coming up, no horsing around at the Kentucky Derby. This is IE America Radio News.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front.
Hey, we made it. Yeah. 4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask around.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Administrators for the Kentucky Derby have cleared winning jockey Jose Santos after reports surfaced that he may have been holding something other than a riding crop in his hand when he crossed the finish line with his horse Funny Side. A spokesman for Churchill Downs said racing stewards discussed the matter with the jockey in question for well over an hour.
And they have found that Jose Santos, the winning rider of Funny Side in the 129th Kentucky Derby, followed the rules of racing in the Kentucky Derby and did not carry anything other than that whip in his right hand.
This is IE America Radio News.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Stocks climbed on the first day of the new trading week, along with investors betting that better economic times are close at hand. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed more than 122 points to 8727. The S&P 500 jumped 11 points to 945. And the Nasdaq surged ahead 21 points to 1541. Thousands of New York City tenants are heading to Albany Tuesday, taking a message to the state capitol that they can't afford the proposed hikes on rent-stabilized apartments. Nearly 50 busloads of New Yorkers will be heading to the rally. Nearly 3 million tenants live in 1 million rent-controlled apartments. And someone took about 30,000 brains from storage. British officials say about half the brains were stolen. The illicit removal of brains was widespread from the 70s to the 90s. The magnitude of the scandal might never be known, though, since records 30 years ago were sketchy, with many of the brains used for research or destroyed since that time. I'm Kelly Freeman, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, Anti-Lock Braking Systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With Anti-Lock Brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. If you'd like to call in, please do, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. And you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. Sirius Satellite Channel 145, if you're listening there. Radio Left, welcome. RadioPower.org to listeners there, welcome. And if you're listening tomorrow night, WhiteRoseSociety.org, welcome. Who else? Cable Radio 2, welcome. The radio stations that carry the program, welcome. A lot of sound from Too Stupid to Be President today. And yesterday, Tom Daschle, the supposed leader of the opposition in the Senate, it was a pretty terrible performance on Media Whore number one, Tim Russert's program. A couple of breaking stories before we really get into it. As you probably know, four explosions hit the Saudi capital, Riyadh, late today, including a car bomb attack, car bomb attacks at compounds housing Americans and other Westerners. Dozens of injuries. Some people are reporting deaths now. 50 injuries have been received at the National Guard Hospital in Riyadh, according to the Associated Press. Three Western residential compounds were attacked. There was extensive property damage. Now, as you probably also know, this is just hours before Colin Powell is supposed to show up there. If you remember, was it last week, Kathy, or the week before, when Don Rumsfeld went to Afghanistan, explosions there? These folks are trying to get a message to the United States. I wonder if the Bush crime family will understand what the message is. I think also a message is being sent to the royal family of Saudi Arabia, that its days are numbered. And then, is this a new story? Deanna Laney charged with murder of her son, 6 and 8, in Texas. What's this? Some woman beat her children to death with rocks, and she said God told her to do it. Uh-huh. God told her to do it. Now, see, everybody says, well, that's crazy. You know, God obviously wasn't talking to her. But if other people who have their little conversations with God, well, God told me that I should become a Christian. Why are some conversations with God, quote, quote, valid and acceptable, and others are crazy? I mean, in the Old Testament, it's when God is speaking to the Israelites, he says the same thing. If your children disrespect you, kill them. You know, if somebody serves you meat and milk at the same time, kill them. So why is it any different now in Texas when a woman beats her children to death with stones or rocks or whatever? Then she says God told her to do it, and everybody goes, oh, man, she must be crazy. Really? Really? Strong argument for agnosticism, don't you think? No, I guess not. People have to have their religious beliefs. What does Bartkop call it? The I forget how Bartkop refers to people who believe in the supreme being. Oh, well. Michelangelo Signorelli, are you familiar with him? One of the non-media horrors out there. Good writer. In a column that I just got my hands on today, I don't know when it came out, probably last week, Michael, I guess he goes by Michelangelo. Anyway, Signorelli says it's true that Pennsylvania Republican Rick Santorum's comments last week about homosexuality were obviously outrageous and show somebody whose mind is just totally warped. That would be Santorum's. In that infamous now Associated Press interview. Well, infamous to folks like you and me. Infamous to people with a brain. To religious crazy people, that's right, Rick, you go them damn queers. But it was in that interview where he defended sodomy laws, and he equated homosexuality with incest and polygamy and adultery and bigamy and bestiality and I don't know, jaywalking, biting your fingernails in public, just anything bad he could think of. And, of course, Santorum later refused to apologize. But there is a creepy part of that article, and I just sort of skimmed over it because, to me, at the time, the story was Rick Santorum opening his mouth and inserting his own foot or some part of his anatomy. But the creepiest bit in the article actually had nothing to do with gays or sodomy or adultery or bigamy or polygamy or any of that. It was, as Signorelli points out, this little buried factoid that was in the article. Here it is, quote, he and his wife Karen, referring to Santorum, he and his wife Karen have seven children, including, as Santorum puts it, the one in heaven. The one in heaven. See, what happened was their fourth baby died in 1996, 2 hours after an emergency delivery in the 20th week of pregnancy. So the Santorums refer to that as their, that child, Gabriel Michael was his name. Two archangels there, Gabriel and Michael. They refer to that baby as their child in heaven, the one in heaven. Here's the weird part. Rick and Karen Santorum took the little corpse home to let their three other young children see and hold the corpse before burying it. Now, as Signorelli points out, that's been reported before. It's, in fact, often repeated in the context of Santorum's wild-eyed crusade against abortion. But having this kind of weirdness brought out within the context of the guy condemning other people's behavior is pretty jarring, isn't it? I mean, how much more perverted can you get, seriously, than walking around with a dead 5-month-old fetus and having your kids pet it? I mean, Jesus, tell me if I'm wrong. Is that how you get closure? A 5-month fetus so you take this thing home, and I'm sorry, it is a thing. Don't get in my case about this. You know I'm anti-abortion. I'm pro-choice. I'm a pro, like every pro-choice person in America, I'm also anti-abortion. Okay? But here we are, a 5-month-old fetus, deader than a doornail, and you bring it home for your kids to pet and caress? Jesus, and he's talking about the weird behavior of gays? Oh, yeah. Then there's this little item. Here's another one I missed completely. Apparently Chris Matthews on Hardball back, on May the 1st. That's what the quote is from. Doc sent this to me. Will Pitt wrote about it. But on Hardball, Chris Matthews said, "We're proud of our president. Americans love having a guy as president, a guy who has a little swagger, who's physical, who's got to complicate a guy like Clinton or even like Dukakis or Mondale. All those guys, McGovern, they want a guy who's president. Women like a guy who's president. Check it out. The women like this war." Really? I didn't know Chris Matthews spoke for women. Women like the war. Well, now here's the context of all this. When Bush disrespected once again the U.S. military and all the people who have died in Iraq and landed on the aircraft carrier that was being swung around to give him a photo op for the 2004 election campaign, when he got off the plane to make his Top Gun appearance on the deck of the aircraft carrier, if you look at the picture, you see that his crotch, I mean, his testicles are just absolutely jammed up around his belly button. And what he's got on there is it's the harness for his parachute. Now, most people who actually fly, I've been told this, jet pilots or any sort of military pilot who flies with a parachute on, as soon as they get out of the cockpit, they release that harness because it hurts. You know, it's just jammed up in your crotch. So here's that picture of Bush. We're going to try to get this up on the website when the program's over tonight. He's standing there with his helmet in his hand. He's got all this gear on him. And there are those straps just pulling his testicles and his penis up around his belly button. So at BuzzFlash, there was this. Now, what the hell did I do with it? I had the story. BuzzFlash, there was a guest editorial at BuzzFlash where some comments were made about this picture. Because you notice all of a sudden, The right-wing media in this country reporting that women were just, ooh, God, he's so hot. Here it is. The question is, did Karl Rove stuff socks down the front of Bush's pants before he got on that plane? And a BuzzFlash reader writes, it will be interesting to find out how much George's campaign photo shoot with his Top Gun on display. You get it. How much is it going to cost? The picture was hilarious, and when I found out that women thinks he's hot, I laughed even harder. I decided perhaps I was too old and wasn't looking at it the right way, so I asked my daughter if she thought George Bush was hot, and she laughed. Hey, he's an old guy, and he looks like a monkey. Then she looked at this picture, and she said, what's wrong with his pants? He looks disgusting. It does. It looks like a codpiece. It looks like, what is it? What is that? The 17th century, Getty? 18th century? The codpiece that the French, I guess, was popular for a while. This big codpiece right down there in the crotch. Anyway, the daughter, who is 27, daughter of the writer at BuzzFlash, said, quote, the other guy's pants don't look like that. So mom here, who's writing the piece, said, I decided perhaps at 27 she was too young and she doesn't like George anyway. So I asked my son, who likes George and believes this administration will save him from all the monsters under his bed. He's 23. I asked him to look at the picture, and he said, you just don't like Bush's policy, so nothing he does will suit you. He grabbed the picture and said, what does he have in his pants? Looks like golf balls. They shouldn't let him go out looking like that. So he looks stupid. It's only one picture. So then the writer of this article, she says, I went to my older daughter and son in their 30s and received pretty much the same type of responses. I've gone around my circle of friends and acquaintances and still haven't found anyone who thinks he's hot. I wonder where the survey was taken and felt sorry for the soccer moms who have pretty much very little in their lives. Do we know if he had socks or golf balls stuffed down his pants? And who put them there? Carl the Brain... Rove, Bush's brain. And another BuzzFlash reader speculates on Bush's artificially enhanced crotch. It wasn't socks or golf balls. The former, quote, fighter pilot, close quote, was too stupid to release his parachute harness crotch straps as soon as he was on deck. Why am I not surprised? The writer says, from personal experience, I can tell you it's very uncomfortable, if not painful, to walk around that way. Oh, you stupid moron. Singing his cowboy song. He does too much. He thought I knocked that Western accent with a Dixie touch. She was a wrist on a loco way. He's what you call the swinging half breed, singing his cow boogie in the strangest way. Come on, I.
am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And, I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
Past the hour, he gets encapsulated in a bubble. Good God. You have to wonder about, we know Bush is stupider than a tree stump, but, parading around the deck of that aircraft carrier with his parachute harness just tighter than, oh, never mind. What a visual. I hope you saw that picture. I don't check Bush's crotch. I couldn't care less about his package. But, oh, my God, when you look at this picture, after your attention is directed to it, it's just like,
And Chris Matthews says, women like this war. Yeah, they want to send their sons and occasionally daughter to go die for Bush's cronies. Yeah, because Bush is sexy. If George W. Bush is sexy, Jesus, we need to redefine that term, don't we? Oh, well, never mind. Speaking of too stupid to be president, he's out there addressing the terminally brain dead once again, the American sheeple in these factory settings, people who are going to lose their jobs, people who, when Bush shows up, it disturbs the production lines. And did you hear about? First he went to Bernalillo. He went near Albuquerque. It's a suburb of Albuquerque. Right after that, he went to an Omaha plastics factory. And about 340 workers at this plastics factory will lose pay or have to work next Saturday to make up for the time lost during Bush's photo op today to promote his jobs and growth plan. That's according to the boss out there. Brad Crosby is the boss. He's the president of Airlite Plastics Company. And he said about 170 of his workers will lose a full day's pay, and another 170 will be docked for part of their pay for Monday, unless they make up the time they spend attending Bush's speech. Now, these workers could have said, screw it, I'm going to keep working. And then what happens? Wow, what are you, unpatriotic? What are you, Arab terrorist? Now, what happened, Airlite shut down for its first shift and part of the second shift to provide according to the Washington Post, a photogenic backdrop for Bush's speech. Huh? A photogenic backdrop. Now, this is so Bush can pressure members of the Senate to support this large tax cut, another one that he wants for his wealthy backers and for the top 10% of income. I don't want to say income earners in this country, because most of these people in that bracket don't earn squat. But anyway, he wants this about a trillion dollar tax cut on top of the $2 trillion tax cut he got last year that didn't stimulate a damn thing except the bank accounts of his friends. So he's trying to build support. So he's going around to these various states and he's talking to factory workers. Factory, right? Who are really, really going to see this tax cut. Oh, yeah. Now, while he was at Airlite today, he stood near a production line that makes polystyrene containers for shipping steak, vaccines, and other goods. But the boss, Brad Crosby, said, quote, since we have another shift that we'll have to work, it would be difficult to just give credit to the people who didn't work while they were attending the event. The really good option was just to offer the chance to work on Saturday. We feel that's a fair approach. Crosby said he spoke to several of the company's 510 hourly workers about this decision, and according to the boss, they weren't concerned. The boss said, oh, they're just thrilled about the visit. Now, can you believe that they're thrilled about the visit? They don't care about giving up Saturday. They don't care about being docked, not getting paid. I don't know why. I'm just thrilled. Too stupid to be president here. A White House official declined comment except to say that Bush looks forward to talking, looked forward to talking to people in Nebraska about his plan to put money in their pockets. Well, do you have to be a rocket scientist to realize that Bush's photo op takes money out of their pockets? Oh, never mind. But when we come back, we have some sound for you from his speech before he went to Nebraska, when he was in Albuquerque. You're going to love it. Stick around.
For a cunning cottage, we could share the world apart, my mush. 'Cause I've got a crush, my baby, on you.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two Chinese labor activists charged with subversion for organizing worker protests in the steel city of Laoyang last year have been sentenced to prison terms. 57-year-old Xiaoyun Lang got a 4-year sentence, while Yao Fuxin, age 52, will serve 7. The sentencing took place at a half-hour hearing Friday inside the prison where the two have already spent a year behind bars. Outside, a ring of riot police prevented hundreds of the men's supporters from attending. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Laoyang last March, protesting corruption in local government and at failing state-owned factories where workers had gone months without being paid. Those protests helped set off a wave of demonstrations in China's industrial provinces on a scale not seen since the Communist Revolution of 1949.
Boston police officers who don't report for picket duty could be disciplined by their union. The Boston Police Patrolmen's Association has gone since last summer without a contract and is maintaining picket lines at every public appearance of Boston Mayor Thomas Menino. In order to maintain the constant presence, the union says it'll withhold life insurance, dental coverage, and other benefits from officers who don't spend time on the line each month. While city officials have questioned the legality of the move, both the Labor Department and the Massachusetts Labor Commission have signed off on it.
As the U.S. struggles to restore basic services and a functioning government in Iraq, hundreds of workers at the country's second-largest oil refinery in Basra have begun pickets against the military management. They want a say in how the refinery will be run, and they are not happy that the new supervisors installed by U.S. commanders on the scene are from Saddam Hussein's former Ba'ath Party regime. Meanwhile, nearly a million Iraqi civil service workers got $20 payments from U.S. forces this weekend. These are supposed to make up for wages lost during the invasion. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. I think I got it right now. Bernalillo, is that how you say it? Bernalillo, New Mexico, a suburb of Albuquerque. So Bush went there. That's where he started out today, his hard push for tax relief for the wealthiest 10% of Americans. And it always intrigues me. I swear to God it does. When Bush makes these appearances at factories, you know, manufacturing plants where people are struggling, people, you got hourly wage workers, and he talks about his tax cut plan for, let's just be real, you know, for the top 10% of income earners in this country. And they applaud him, you know, these people who Bush sees as just so much mud, you know, and they applaud him. Incredible. Organizers of his photo op at this plant said about 3,000 people, most of whom were invited by the state's Republican congressional delegation, attended Bush's speech at a company called MCT Corporation, just north of Albuquerque. And, you know, Bush did his usual thing. He had to get in his licks about hunt him down, smoke him out, gonna kill him or get him one at a time, you know, the thing he's been talking about for God knows how long. So he also has to highlight the military attack on Iraq. That's Bush's one claim in his mind to legitimacy, that he led the most awesome military force in the history of the human race against a third world country run by a little tin pot, 10-cent dictator, kicked everybody's ass, and I guess that makes Bush a hero.
Anyway, there were protesters who got in there. To you folks in Albuquerque who made it in, bless your hearts. His remarks coincided with shouts from protesters who had gotten inside the warehouse where this photo op was held. Anti-war activists shouted peace and Bush is a warmonger before they were ushered out by security guards. Bush seemed to be invigorated. According to the Albuquerque Tribune, Bush seemed to be invigorated by the screams at him, right? So he stayed on his theme of anti-terrorism and homeland security for several minutes of his half-hour speech. At one point, terrorist Bush said, "Hate the fact that we have freedom of speech in America." What? We have freedom? No, we don't, George. You know that, of course. I know that. People listening to this program know that. Most Americans who have a brain know that. We don't have freedom of speech anymore. We have First Amendment zones. And God forbid somebody should show up at one of your speeches and a protest, they will be ushered out. But the incredible, what is it, unconsciousness or just blatant duplicity? While Bush's thugs escort people out, Bush stands here and says, "We have freedom of speech." That's why they hate us. I don't know. It's stunning. It's just astonishing to me. It never fails to just drill me up against a wall. I working class Americans in a setting where no dissent is allowed, applauding a liar, a coward, a thief, and a sneak, who is there to do everything in his power to make the wealthy in this country wealthier and the middle class more crippled. And there they are, middle class people cheering this. I can't get my mind around that. It must be that package of his. So here he is on his tax cut plan, getting big applause. This is before the protesters spoke up, which we'll have for you in a second. But this is where he says that when you raise your voices, the people in Washington tend to listen. Well, I'll be an SOB. You know, the little rat think. We had millions of people globally and millions in this country saying no to the war. Did anybody in this crime family listen? No, they didn't. But Bush lives in a dry, drunk, altered state of consciousness. So to him, well, yeah, you raise your voices to people in Washington tend to listen. Well, here he is.
I'm here in Albuquerque today to talk about a big decision which is now before the United States Congress and the fact that you can help them make the right decision. I'm here to remind not only you all but our fellow Americans that when you raise your voices, the people in Washington tend to listen.
Now applaud, you morons. Yeah, listen to that.
And I hope you join me in raising your voices to make sure that Congress enacts an economic stimulus plan big enough to help people who are looking for work. A plan big enough to encourage economic growth.
Listen. Listen to that. Here I go again. Overusing adjectives. It is astonishing. There they stand, people whose throats are going to be cut by this so-called economic plan, cheering him. But what the hell? It's nothing new. I guess I'm used to it at this point, aren't you? What's the latest figure? 65% of Americans still support this murderous thug, this incompetent, lying coward? But every time I hear that, I just go, what the hell are they applauding? What has this guy done? Oh, well. So here's where the hecklers come in. No blood for oil. Peace. U.S. out of Iraq. It's hard to hear. So listen up. And then, of course, the terminally brain dead, the sheeple who have been gathered together to be props for Bush, of course, applaud as the people are being let out. So here it is.
This has been a time of testing for America. It's been a time of interesting testing. But we have the strength and we have the confidence to meet every single challenge.
Sieg Heil. Sieg Heil. So the protesters, you could hear the protesters in the back there, peace, Bush is a warmonger, no blood for oil. But, to Bush, that's just the proles, you know, raising their voices out of the slime and the muck. We have the strength, we have the confidence to meet every single challenge. And then, of course, the sheeple, the people who don't have a clue as to how
vile this regime is. You know, they just, you know, applaud, sure. Now, in this one, more protesters shout at Bush, interspersed with more cheering as well. He's still at MCT Industries, just north of Albuquerque. So just listen, see if you can hear the protesters in the back that say, no blood for oil, free Iraq, U.S. out of Iraq. Then there's booing, then there's applause, and there's applause, and there's more applause. Because the reason the sheeple are selected by the Republican committee, in this case in the state of New Mexico, the reason they're selected to come in is to drown out anyone who might be there who would try to point out the truth. But let's listen.
Not only did we remove a regime which threatened our security and held the American people hostage, not only did we remove a regime that brutalized their own people, but we will stay to make sure that the Iraqi people have got the security necessary, the food necessary, the medicines necessary, the conditions necessary. We will stay as long as necessary to make sure that the Iraqi people have a government of, by, and for the Iraqi people, and then we'll come home.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Again, it's just astonishing to me. I don't get that. I've not been able to get that. People are standing there whose freedoms have been ripped from them. People who, if they want to protest this moron, have to go stand somewhere behind barbed wire, behind armed guards in a First Amendment zone. People whose economy in 2.5 years has been utterly destroyed. People who are asked repeatedly to give up their sons to go die for this bastard, and they applaud him. People whose retirement is being decimated. People whose state governments can no longer function, on the verge of bankruptcy. People whose children are being forced to attend an educational system that's collapsing for lack of money. And they applaud him. And they applaud him. Now, on to the real reason he's giving the speech, his economic plan. Now, he stammers around here about equities and stuff. And can you figure out what the hell he's trying to say here? I want you to listen to this. See if you can pull a coherent thought out of this.
We are becoming an ownership society when it comes to stock ownership. Thousands of people own equities directly. But thousands as well own equities through their pension plans. A lot of people in this country own equities, and therefore, the more the plan focuses, or any plan focuses on helping the market, the more we're helping our average citizens realize wealth. And that's what we want. We want our citizens to be wealthier, not poorer.
Oh, my God. Jesus. He has no idea what he's talking about. Just put him back in the flight suit, jack up his crotch about 4 inches above his belly button, let him strut around and carry his helmet under his head and talk about mission accomplished, and he'll be fine. Just keep him out there. Keep him out playing soldier. Keep this deserter, this coward, this AWOL thug out there in the flight suit on the deck of an aircraft carrier. Let him walk around. Hey, boys, how you doing? Ha, ha, boy, I brought that bitch down right on his neck, didn't I? Ha, ha, ha. And he'll be fine. But if he talks about economics, if he talks about health care, if he talks about Social Security, if he talks about the environment, he's lost. He's lost. Now, about the deficit, Bush is not worried about the deficit. Why should he be worried about the deficit?
And as the Senate talks about this plan, I hope they hear the voices of those looking for work.
Oh, jeez.
The more robust the plan, the more likely it is somebody is going to find a job here in America.
Somebody, yeah.
Now, you're going to hear a lot of talk about the deficit.
Yeah.
As an excuse not to cut taxes.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the deficit, but I'm more worried about the fellow looking for work.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the deficit, but I'm more worried about the single mom.
Yeah.
Who's worried about putting food on the table for her children so she can find work.
Yeah.
And that's where this focus of this administration is going
to
be.
Yeah, we got to help that old single mom out there trying to put food on her kid. That's right. Yeah, look at me. I'm thinking about the single mom. And they applaud him. And they applaud him. It's just mind-boggling. Just absolutely mind-boggling. Now,
He leaves New Mexico and heads for Nebraska. And he thanks the people that invited him to the manufacturing plant. And the word of the day is entourage, apparently. So he's just you just have to you just have to try to figure out what he's saying here.
I'm so glad to be back in Nebraska.
Sure am. I'm so glad.
Thanks for coming by to say hello. It's an honor to be here, Brad. I want to thank you very much for opening up your fine facility to the entourage that travels with me and all these fine folks.
Oh, my God.
Appreciate the entrepreneurial spirit of Airlight Plastics. I want to thank all the good, hardworking folks that that work here to make this company a going concern. I appreciate your hospitality. And I want to congratulate you on your new building. It's a beautiful facility.
Now, the people applauding him are among those people are the people who have had a day's pay taken from them so that this unconscionable, too-stupid-to-be-president AWOL deserter can stand there and thank them for giving up their day's wages, unless they want to come back Saturday and make it up, and they applaud him. They applaud him, for God's sake. And finally, my favorite clip of the day, this is Bush on how to help those looking for work. Now, you may have to get out your Bush to English dictionary and try to follow along.
And so long as somebody's looking for work that wants to work says to me, we got a problem. And therefore, I laid out a plan to deal with it. And it starts based on this principle. It says, if you're worried about people finding work... In other words, one of the problems we have is we're such a productive economy. We've got the best workers in the world, by the way. The productivity rates are way up in America.
Yeah.
The more productive you are, it means there's better output per worker, which means you better increase demand if you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Oh, my God. Oh, the more productive you are, it means that there's better output per worker, which means you better increase demand if you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you've got to create the need for more work. This from a Cretan who's never worked a day in his life, right? Out there trying to relate to the common factory worker, the common man, common woman, the middle class laborer who's busting his or her ass to make the mortgage payment and the car payment and take care of mom and buy the kids some school clothes, busting his ass until today. Because today he doesn't get paid unless he wants to come back in Saturday because Bush has got to have his photo op. Bush has got to have some more campaign video for 2004. And there they stand, applauding him. Well, it's just unbelievable. $130, that's what it costs those workers, $130 a day's pay. And by the way, that is more than what tens of thousands of Nebraska's working families will receive under Bush's tax scheme that he's standing there promoting. Most of those families will receive less than that $130 that they have to give up or come in and work on Saturday. And he stands there and they applaud him. From that little speech at Airlight, the New York Times quoted one man without naming him. This worker said, "It's not a great thing for us employees to have him here. We're losing a lot of money because of his visit. His speech is supposed to be about what the family can get from his tax breaks. It doesn't really make sense." By the way, the factory he went to is a non-union plant. It employs 570 workers and makes 1.3 billion plastic cups and lids a year for yogurt, cream cheese, and other dairy products. And they applaud him.
Fat grandma, baby. You say I ain't
people invest in plant and equipment. That will help those who are the immediate employer, but also those who manufacture the plant, the equipment, or manufacture the or construct the plant will also have employment. And so it's a ripple effect in our economy. And the
back home, bro.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
No subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
Five before the hour. Well, if you think that sound of Bush was interesting, wait till we, next hour, we're going to take a look at what Tom Daschle said on Media Whore number one, Tim Russert's program. Ooh. You probably saw this. The group directing all known U.S. search efforts for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq is leaving. It says here it's winding down operations without finding proof that Hussein kept clandestine stocks of outlawed arms, according to participants. The 75th Exploitation Task Force, as the group is formally known, has been described from the start as the principal component of the U.S. plan to discover and display forbidden Iraqi weapons. The group's departure, expected next month, marks a milestone in frustration for a major declared objective of the war. Yeah. Leaders of Task Force 75's diverse staff, that would include biologists, chemists, arms treaty enforcers, nuclear operators, computer experts, document experts, special forces troops, all of them, have come to a conclusion that you knew and I knew prior to the attack on Iraq. You see, all these guys went there expecting to find what Secretary of State Colin Powell described at the UN Security Council on February 5th. You remember what that was? Hundreds of tons of biological and chemical agents, missiles and rockets poised to deliver those agents either against the neighbors or the United States or our military forces, and evidence of an ongoing program to build a nuclear bomb. Remember? Their confidence is broken. That's what many of these task force members say in interviews. Our confidence is broken. Army Colonel Richard McPhee, who will close down the task force next month, said he took seriously U.S. intelligence warnings on the eve of war that Saddam Hussein had given release authority to subordinates in command of chemical weapons. And the good colonel says, we didn't have all these people in protective suits for nothing. But if Iraq thought of using such weapons, the colonel says, there had to have been something to use, and we haven't found it. Biologists, chemists, arms treaty enforcers, nuclear operators, computer experts, document experts, and special forces troops. Totally, totally flummoxed by the wily Saddam Hussein.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Kelly Freeman. For the first time since he was sworn in, Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas will meet personally with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon this Friday. The historic meeting has been confirmed by both sides, but neither has indicated where the talks will take place. The FBI is thinking about draining a pond in Frederick, Maryland. Evidence has been found there that may be linked to the 2001 anthrax attacks in the United States. The Washington Post reports the FBI has developed a new theory about how a person could have waded into the pond to contaminate envelopes, then dump equipment into the pond. A spokesperson for the mayor of Frederick says the city has been assured that the water is safe and the investigation is not affecting the drinking water system. Number 11 on the Pentagon's 55 most wanted Iraqis list is in the custody of the United States. States forces. The man known as the Jack of Spades was the Iraqi Armed Forces Chief of Staff. It's unknown whether he was captured by U.S. forces or surrendered, as many top Iraqi officials have been doing. U.S. Central Command also says Rehab Rashid Taha, known as Dr. Germ, is in custody. The biological warfare expert was not on Washington's list of the 55 most wanted regime members. Actor Jeffrey Jones has been granted a continuance for a plea bargain that could keep him from going to trial on child porn charges. The 56-year-old actor is accused of photographing a nude 15-year-old boy in suggestive poses. Jones has appeared in films such as Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Amadeus, Sleepy Hollow, and Beetlejuice. And a number of senior students have been suspended for 10 days in connection with last week's alleged hazing incident that took place in a Chicago area forest preserve. In addition, Glenbrook High School principal Dr. Michael Riggle says the girls will also be recommended for expulsion.
The students can no longer attend classes, enter the school campus, or attend school-sponsored activities.
Coming up, help has arrived for tornado victims. This is IE America Radio News.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front.
Hey, we made it. 4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ow. We...
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss... There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What? Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
An emergency response team from the Houston chapter of the American Red Cross is in Oklahoma helping with the recovery efforts after devastating tornadoes destroyed homes and businesses in the Oklahoma City area. Gary Hightower is with the crew.
Well, we're just going where the people have been displaced in their homes and stuff, and we'll go there and we'll feed them on site. We'll feed the rescue workers, some of the police officers and things that are standing by, National Guard if they're there, and we'll just do whatever's necessary to help alleviate some of the suffering.
This is IE America Radio News.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Stocks climbed on the first day of the new trading week, along with investors betting that better economic times are close at hand. Companies like Cisco Systems and Microsystems helped spark the rally. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed more than 122 points to 8727. The S&P 500 jumped 11 points to 945, and the NASDAQ surged ahead 21 points to 1541. Kentucky racing stewards say winning Kentucky Derby jockey Jose Santos didn't do anything wrong. Santos and his attorney and agent met with three stewards Monday morning at Churchill Downs to discuss a published photo that raised questions about his actions aboard Funny Side. The photo appears to show Santos holding an unauthorized object in his right hand. The second leg of the horse racing Triple Crown is this weekend. Officials in Baltimore are beefing up security at Pimlico Racecourse. And Melissa and Lee Andron of Cary, North Carolina, wanted to do something really different for their December wedding, so they took their guests to Toys R Us. They decided that money could be better spent on needy kids at Christmas. I'm Kelly Freeman, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. So the weapons inspectors, all of the biologists, chemists, arms treaty enforcers, nuclear operators, computer experts, document experts, and special forces troops, they were all part of what is called, was called, 75th Exploitation Task Force. They're being disbanded and sent home. There's no there there. You knew that. I knew that. Thinking Americans knew that, which puts just excruciatingly to the lie everything that Bush and his crime buddies said, from Colin Powell to Ari Fleischer to Rumsfeld to Cheney, the rest of these thugs, no weapons of mass destruction, no threat to his neighbors, no threat to the United States, nothing. Nothing. Except the oil, of course. The task force members, according to the Washington Post, found themselves in a couple of trick bags. First of all, they consistently found that the targets they were told to go examine by U.S. intelligence to be inaccurate. Central Command began the war with a list of 19 top weapon sites. Only two remained to be searched. Another list enumerated 68 top sites. Of those, the tally at midweek showed 45 surveyed, nothing. I love the way the Post puts this today. They say Task Force 75's experience and its impending dissolution after 7 weeks in action square poorly with assertions in Washington that the search has barely begun. You see, that's what Fleischer and the rest of these monsters keep saying. The warmongers, the cowards, the people who are destroying this country?
Well, yeah, we'll find them. The search has barely began.
Well, the people on the ground, 75th Exploitation Task Force, said, look, man, we've checked everything. There is nothing here. There's nothing here! What do you want us to do? Now, you knew, and I knew, and thinking Americans knew, before Bush ordered this attack on Iraq, that the intelligence was fraudulent. We also knew that the CIA, the DIA, the NSC, all of these intelligence agencies, the FBI, were told, produce evidence to back up what we're saying. You also know that there is just short of an open revolt within the CIA, career officers who have finally become convinced that the Bush crime family are insane, that the members of that crime family are insane. Produce something, they are told. But there's nothing to produce, they say. Produce it anyway, they are told. Now, back on Aircraft Carrier Day, when Bush had his parachute restraints all pushed up in his crotch, so it made him look like he was wearing a codpiece, Bush said, "We began a search for hidden chemical and biological weapons, and already know of hundreds of sites that will be investigated." Really? But according to the Washington Post, on the front lines of the search, the results are uniformly disappointing, according to those members of the 75th Exploitation Task Force. Army Chief Warrant Officer Richard Gonzalez, leader of Mobile Exploitation Team Alpha, said in disgust to a colleague during last Sunday's nightly report of weapon sites and survey results, quote, "Why are we doing any of this? Answer me that. We know the sites are empty." Ooh. Now, just so you don't think it's been sloughed off, survey teams have combed laboratories, munition plants, bunkers, distilleries, bakeries, vaccine factories, file cabinets, and holes in the ground. Most of these targets came with what is called a classified target folder describing U.S. intelligence. Nothing. Not only is there no there there, there is no evidence that there was ever a there there. No chemical residue, no biological residue, no nuclear radiation, nothing. Oh, that's right. There was that that semi-tractor trailer last week that we all just focused on for two or three news cycles anyway, didn't we? Huh? Well, here it is. Here's the smoking gun. Look here. Look here. Here it is. Here, look. Okay, don't look. There's nothing here. Now, remember why we impeached Bill Clinton? Because he lied about sex. What do you do with a fake president, a coward and a deserter, who lies about war? What do you do with him? If we impeach a president for lying about sex, what do we do with a president who lies about war? 139, is that what it's up to now? U.S. servicemen and women are dead. Nobody knows how many thousands of Iraqis are dead. We impeach a president who lies about sex. What do we do with a president who lies about war? Scott's calling from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hey, Scott. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. I hate to go back to a subject that's already been beat to death, but hell, why not? Oh, sorry, I can't say that. I'm sorry. I forgot I'm on the radio.
Go ahead.
There was an article in the Wall Street Journal on Friday in the taste section, or I should say the lack of taste section, and I don't know if you saw it or not. It's entitled Hey Flyboy, and it's by Lisa Schifrin, who's a writer in New York.
Yes, I think I did see that, but
okay.
Refresh us.
Well, I fortunately did not watch the debacle that was his display on the aircraft carrier in San Diego. Yeah, but Friday morning I had a little trouble keeping my coffee down because of a couple of sentences. And actually, the whole article was rather disgusting. I don't know if you mind me reading a little bit of it or not.
Go ahead.
The first paragraph says, "I had the most astonishing thought last Thursday. After a long day of hauling the kids to play dates and ballet, I turned on the news. And there was the president landing on the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln, stepping out of a fighter jet in that amazing uniform, looking, oh, how to put it, really hot. Also presidential, of course. Not to mention credible as commander-in-chief, but mostly hot, as in virile, sexy, and powerful."
Yeah.
So that's the gist of the article. Now, the paragraph that just really kills me, and I'm curious what some of your other listeners may think of this, particularly the women listeners. She goes on to say, "Alexandra, an unmarried event planner in her 30s, emailed, hot, so hot, that uniform. In a more restrained way, my friend Maggie, a writer slash mom, explained, I think he is actually protecting me and my sons, and I find that attractive in a man. Susie, who did her mom time and now writes biographies, also began with restraint. I asked casually what she thought about President Bush. she answered carefully. He's so confident. He's a very credible, trustworthy leader. Where are these people getting this idea? I mean,
well,
the fact that he looks good in a flight suit makes him credible? I mean, come on. Are they even listening?
These are people who watch Fox News. These are people who read their local rag newspaper owned by right-wingers. These are people who have no more clue about their present or their future than a stone does. These are people who watch Are You Hot or Survivor or whatever the latest reality crap is on network television. And I don't know. I can't answer. It's astonishing. It's mind-boggling. It freaks me out. It makes me ashamed that I breathe the same air and live on the same continent as these people. It's one thing to hate him with a passion like I do, but it's something else again to suck up to him like this. The least these people could do, I would think, would be be able to see the trickery, the use of images, the falsity of all this. They would understand his record as a deserter and a coward and a failure and a drunk and a coke user and somebody who paid for the abortion of his 15-year-old girlfriend. But no, they don't do that. So
it doesn't matter, Mike. It only matters if you look good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, isn't
that actually, there's another couple of sentences here that you might like if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
She goes on to, of course, criticize liberals, which, anybody who has a brain and thinks is a good liberal.
Right.
our friend from Vermont says, if that makes me a liberal, great.
Yeah.
Liberals make such a fetish of intellect. But who cares?
A fetish? Wait. A fetish of intellect? Oh, my God. What is this Schifrin woman's name? What's her first name?
Lisa.
Lisa Schifrin.
I thought you'd enjoy that one, Mike.
A fetish of intellect.
A fetish of intellect.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry to interrupt.
But who cares how smart you are if you can't make a decision and follow through?
Yeah, uh-huh.
As long as you make decisions, even if they're bad ones, that's better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Better to go do something, go kill people, than to think a little bit about it before you go do it.
It's just incredible. It's just incredible. I cannot believe that there are women in this country who would see this guy who has to be one of the most unmanly men that ever has crossed my radar screen.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I don't either. But
I'm hoping one of your women callers or listeners will call in and give us maybe some insight into how this can be possible.
I don't know if any of our women listeners can call in. They're all gagging and retching right now. You know, they're all heading for the Ipecac. Is that
Ipecac,
how you? Yeah, the syrup.
You don't need Ipecac. Just read the paper.
Hey, listen, thanks, Scott.
Hey, Mike, I hope I can call in again, and maybe someday you'll make me your Scottsdale Bureau Chief.
Well, let's just do it right now. We don't have Kathy, hold on. Let me see. Do we have a Scottsdale, Arizona Bureau Chief? We do not. Okay, we do now. Scott?
Well, I feel I can't begin to tell you how warmed I am.
Well, don't forget to send in your dues.
Oh, okay. Well, Kathy, tell me what they are. And
all right, Scott is now the Scottsdale, Arizona Bureau Chief. Kathy, when he calls in, he'll identify himself that way, and we will bring him on the air that way. All right, well, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Mike, and have a good show tonight.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Wish we had pomp and circumstance-style music when we make these appointments, but this is a low-budget show. Because I work for a low-budget network, so we don't have pomp and circumstance music. One more thing here, we have a break coming anyway. The U.S. military now is assuming control over the content of television in northern Iraq because the military officer in charge of all this, Major General David Petraeus. Feels that the what's being broadcast on Iraqi television right now is too sensitive. So the U.S. military is assuming control, and they will decide what is broadcast. I thought that control was already mandated. I thought it was going to be network news and Fox. And you learn something new every day, don't you?
Huge honor to be the greatest, to be the president of the greatest country in the world.
I'd love you to love me. I'm begging you to beg me.
Quit
smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
One of the most absurd oxymorons in our country is shareholder democracy. Corporate image makers claim that these autocratic corporate empires are actually flowers of democracy, governed by and for the millions of little shareholders like old Aunt Emma in Dubuque with her 100 shares of Microsoft or Walmart or Disney. Hogwash. Start with the fact that nearly 60% of Americans own no stock at all, even through a mutual fund or 401k. And most of those who do own stock have only a pittance, like old Aunt Emma's 100 shares. Indeed, 90% of all corporate stock is firmly in the hands of the wealthiest 10% of Americans. But second, the CEOs and top managers rule their corporate fiefdoms with an iron fist, not tolerating even the pretense of shareholder democracy. Take Verizon, the phone giant. It recently held its annual election to choose some members of its board of directors. Great, elections. That's democracy in action, right? Not exactly. Every shareholder does get a ballot, but no opposition candidates are allowed on it. You only get to vote for the candidates selected by the CEO. You can choose to withhold your vote from management's hand-picked nominees, but it won't much matter. For even if the insider nominees get only one vote each, they win. Verizon is unabashed by this dictatorship. Nothing in law requires that an election provide a choice of candidates, says a Verizon document, adding, or that shareholders have a right to nominate candidates. Indeed, Verizon explicitly rejects democracy, claiming that if shareholders had a choice of more than one candidate for each board seat, quote, it would be difficult to predict which individual would be elected. Well, yes, democracy is crazy like that. This is Jim Hightower saying, Verizon is not alone. No corporation allows opposition candidates on its ballot. So much for shareholder democracy.
Got the Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's The Cure, Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So the this TV station in Mosul in northern Iraq broadcasts as many as 5 hours a night of television programming to the city of Mosul, which is about 2 million people. It lost its cameras to looters and was forced to turn to outside programming sources to fill its broadcast. So that content now ranges from the Arab language Al Jazeera news reports. God, that's stunning to think of. These are Arab speakers and Al Jazeera. Oh, never mind. Al Jazeera news reports, talks and speeches by local personalities, and interviews with the newly elected mayor to U.S. military announcements about avoiding unexploded shells or arranging plans for the wheat harvest. But that will not do. That will not do. Major General David H. Petraeus said yesterday in a telephone interview with the Washington Post from his Mosul headquarters that he is considering putting a U.S. Army officer and a translator in the station to monitor what goes on this rotten-ass Iraqi air. I'm sick of it. I want to go home. He said he has been working with lawyers and others to determine the circumstances that would keep programming off the air. The arrogance here, is it not, are you not choking to death on it? I'm choking on it. This is their television station, their air, their country. And this U.S. Army Major General is going to decide what the people of northern Iraq can see on television. And he says, yes, what we're looking at is censorship, but you can censor something that is intended to inflame passions. See, you're allowed. Once you beat the living Christ out of a third world country that couldn't defend itself against a herd of water buffalo, then you have the right to determine what will inflame passions. I'll tell you what inflames passions, at least in this country, Bush's crotch, apparently, all tightened up with his parachute restraining strap. Ooh, ooh, God, listen to me. Now, this Major General says part of his concern arises from his experiences, the Major General's, in Bosnia, where local television, in his mind, was frequently used to inflame people. That must be the word of the day at the Washington Post, inflame. Well, it's just part and parcel. It's the white man's burden all over again. You know, when white men march in with the most awesome, destructive military in the history of the human species and takes over a third world country, well, of course, the television programming is going to be under that army's control, and the radio, and the newspapers, and the assembly, and the government, and, oh, let's not forget the oil. David's calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing fine.
Good. Well, you know, I waited this long to call because I just had to get over being as angry as I've been for weeks now with what Bush did to Iraq. It just took me a long time.
Yeah. Are you over it?
No.
Okay.
I'm still angry, but at least I'm able to verbalize it. But, you know, you mentioned all these people, the inspectors and various other groups of people having to do with trying to find weapons of mass destruction that don't exist in Iraq.
Experts all.
Oh, yes. But leaving, and then Bush is saying, hey, I'm going to find them.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw a little thing across CNN's news screen a couple of nights ago. That's somebody else calling. Don't worry about them. I'll call back. But anyway,
can you hold that thought on the scroll? Was it CNN?
Yes.
Hold that thought right there because we got to take a break. We'll come back and pick it up right there, David. Yes. Quick break. Do stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. The Iraqi regime is a threat of unique urgency. It has developed weapons of mass death.
To Washington they had to run. States' rights just weren't that much fun. Don't you hate that crap? They just keep lying all the time. They just keep lying all the time. Just keep lying all the time.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Public understanding of a key issue in conservation is growing, but still has a long way to go. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. What is biological diversity, or biodiversity for short? Jane Elder heads the Biodiversity Project, a nonprofit organization that has measured public awareness with two major opinion polls.
One was done in 1996, and the last one was done in 2002. The tracking data from the first poll to the second poll tells us that awareness is up from about 2 in 10 Americans to about 3 in 10.
Elder says that small bump in the polls actually represents millions of people who have gained some knowledge about biodiversity. But her organization wants to reach the 7 in 10 people who still don't understand the importance of preserving variety in natural systems.
Biodiversity is simply life on Earth and its many variations and expressions. Part of our mission is to help people see it in other contexts. If it's a scientific issue, people tend to say, oh, well, that's something that experts can deal with, and I don't have to.
Elder says conserving nature is everyone's job, and she says the choices people make every day, what we buy, how much we drive, and so on, affect the future of countless plants and animals.
We've recently published a book on ethics related to biodiversity, and one of the reasons we're doing that is to help people who work in the field wrap biodiversity in the context of daily life, personal choices, moral and ethical considerations. And that's the way I think most people relate to the environment. Is what I'm doing the right thing for me, my family, the generations that follow us?
The group's book, Ethics for a Small Planet, is designed for religious leaders, activists, and others who speak to the public about moral or environmental issues. For more information, visit the group's website at biodiversityproject.org. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Finally, the majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. And we're talking with David, who called in from San Francisco now. Thanks for holding on, David. Where were we?
Yeah, we were talking about
the scroll on the bottom of CNN, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't think too much of it until I heard Bush saying again that they were going to find weapons of mass destruction. And now the news today that you're talking about, which is that all these people are leaving. Mm-hmm. And then I saw another little scroll across that said they're going to be paying. Not only are other experts going over there, but they're going to be paying Iraqi citizens to find weapons of mass destruction, as in, you know, find with quotes around it.
Right, right, of course.
You know, I began to realize all of a sudden, you know, that we are being given psych warfare. This is what we're being subjected to by this administration.
Mm-hmm.
This is psych warfare.
Yeah, and it's warfare against the obviously against the American people. It's just incredible to me that the chattering classes and the columnists in this country. Lance just sent me something from Jonathan Chait, who's one of the editors of New Republic. And Chait has a column where he makes this apologia for Bush and says that liberals had better, you know, wake up to the fact that Saddam was so wily that he obviously hid these weapons and eventually they'll turn up. And I, you know, I want to get this Jonathan Chait by the shoulders and just scream at him. Just say, you know, what's it going to take for you to understand how grossly We were lied to as a society by this warmongering little pimp in the White House.
Well, and they've got people on all religious stations all talking in favor of Bush and talking in favor of the Republicans and talking in favor of what they did over in Iraq. And, you know, it's really, really sad because I remember that about 2 months before the before Bush started this war, the UN Security Council offered up a resolution, the French and the Russians did, which said basically, A, you know, increase the numbers of inspectors, mm-hmm. have them there for several more months, and in addition to that, have armed UN
right.
troops attending them, walking with them and in other groups and so forth, but thousands of them, and they would be not only guarding the inspectors, but giving out food aid and medicine and other things, and likelihood is that A, if there were weapons of mass destruction there with all of the high-tech equipment and the U-2 and the satellites, all of this stuff looking at every square inch of that country,
mm-hmm.
and even being able to see below the surface, that they would have found those things by
sure.
now, and I think we all know that.
Sure, sure.
And what really bothers me is that when you think about an old American tradition, and that military tradition has been around since, you know, for hundreds of years, and that is that it's a moral thing, it's the moral imperative. We don't attack unless we are attacked first.
Right.
And under those circumstances, with U.S. and British and German and French and Russian and Chinese and other troops in there, with the weapons inspectors, if fired on, they could fire back, and if it happened too many times, they could all be withdrawn. Then, with the moral imperative, an invasion could have taken place if
sure.
necessary.
Sure. But that's not what the Bush crime family wanted.
And no, they wanted that oil.
They wanted the oil.
And they didn't want to share it with the French and the Russians.
And I think they understood a very basic fact now that seems to be alive and squirming in this country. If they were able to steal the presidency without the American people mm-hmm. Taking to the streets by the tens of millions, then they are able to do anything.
That's about right, and it's how fascism gets started, and then look what's happening to our rights over here. And, you know, if you could believe this, you listen to somebody, an old crook like G. Gordon Liddy from the Nixon days, right,
right.
from Watergate and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's concerned, I told Larry King, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, that he's concerned about the loss of our civil liberties under the First Amendment to the Constitution.
Aww.
And when you know that when G. Gordon Liddy is saying something like that, you know we're in trouble.
Yeah, we're in up to our eyeballs.
You got it.
David, thanks a lot for checking in, pal.
You bet.
All right, appreciate your comments very much. The we know this. You and I know this. When the Bush crime family was able to successfully steal the presidency of the United States, when they were able to send brown shirts, the American equivalent of brown shirts, congressional staffers, to the different county precincts where the vote counting recount was going on, to beat on the walls and intimidate the people doing the counting and get away with it. When they were able to have their thugs, their hired whores on the United States Supreme Court validate and make legal this theft, then it became crystal clear to the people in the this Richard Perle Defense Council and the people who wrote PNAC and the warmongering industrial the weapons makers in this country and the oil refiners. And the Bush crime family, and Rummy, and the rest of these people, if we can do this, we can do anything. And we just did this. So from here on, there is no need to even try to spin the truth. All we do is stand there and lie. And who is going to challenge us? And with a few exceptions, the answer comes back, no one. Now, back to Bush's crotch. Email here from Joanna. Mike, take heart. Not all women are that stupid, blind, and brainwashed. This is about Bush being hot. Jesus. Joanna writes, thinking Bush is hot is like thinking Howdy Doody is hot. Any woman worth her salt sees George Bush for what he really is, nothing more than a puppet and not even a well-spoken puppet, much less a good-looking one. Women of any caliber at all look for men who can think for themselves, men of honor and integrity, not some flim-flam man like Bush, or any of his cronies for that matter. Don't worry, Mike. There are plenty of us out here who see through all the BS. Well, no, I understand that, Joanna. I do know that there are tens of millions, the vast majority of women. But it's these little twits who get written about.
Oh, I just think he's actually taking care of myself and my baby son. And, oh, my God, did you see him in that flight suit? It just made me shivery.
And another person emailed in here whose name I'm going to leave off. But he writes, and about Bush being hot in the uniform he wore 30 years too late, my wife Kathy says Bush looks like one of the monkeys NASA put into space. 30 years later, an old, drunken, crackhead monkey in a uniform. Yeah, he does that, doesn't he? He does that. Madeline is calling from Brooklyn, New York. Madeline, welcome to the program. This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah, it is, Mike.
Well,
how you doing?
Glad to have you aboard.
Yeah, I'm glad to be aboard. I've been listening for a couple of weeks, and I just thought I'd call in tonight because the conversation's so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, if the prerequisite for being a president is hot, then we should have stuck with Clinton because he was actually doing something about it.
Yeah, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, reason I'm calling is I'm a transgender activist. And for most of my adulthood, I've been fighting for the rights of transgendered people in the country. But now with Bush in office, I've kind of had to, like, refocus that, and I feel a greater commonality with the rest of my real American
right,
citizens
right.
Because I've got to fight now for regular, plain old human rights.
I hear that. Well, you know, Bush is transgendered. Well, maybe transgender is not the right term, but he went from monkey to man.
That would be transracial.
Trans-species, maybe.
Trans-species.
Yeah.
Although I think that it's a big slam to monkeys all over the world.
Well, it is. But on the other hand, every time I see the guy, he does. I mean, do you not notice the similarities to a knuckle-dragging simian living in the jungles of Borneo someplace? Or God, I don't know.
I minored in physical anthropology, so yeah, I do see it.
Right.
At any rate, you shouldn't be looking for pomp and circumstance. You should be looking for the soundtrack to Triumph of the Will, because that display on board the USS Abraham Lincoln, I mean, that was like straight out of Leni Riefen style.
It was. It was just incredible. The only thing that set it apart from Nazi propaganda films is this, in my opinion. Bush is such a goofy-looking doofus. I don't care. I think probably, now, no offense to anybody here, but let's be real, probably some of the greatest, most impressive uniforms ever put together were by the German Reich.
As a Jewish-American woman, I'll even tell you I agree.
Right.
I mean,
they were very impressive.
Albert Speer knew what he was doing.
There you go. And in all my time spent watching the History Channel and Discovery Channel, all these old films, color and black and white from the years of the Third Reich, I have yet to see, except in a sardonic way, any of these thugs display anything remotely resembling humor or that they had a heart or a soul, and that's understandable.
Well, yeah, but they're tailoring this for the average American audience.
I mean,
obviously the average American these days is just drooling over this simpleton because he looks like a simpleton.
Right, but with the Nazis, at least in their evilness, they understood that they had to project power and authority. What Bush projects is drunk frat boy stupidity. Hey, let's party. Let's all get on board. I got this aircraft carrier out here. Let's just jump on the jet and go out in the aircraft carrier and maybe we'll bring a couple chicks. Well, where's Laura? Okay,
well,
we'll bring a couple chicks and a couple of doobies and, you know, kick back. I mean, the guy looks like a moron even when he's trying.
Before he was elected, even, when he was campaigning, me and my friends all referred to him as the towel snap. Because that's what he looks like.
A towel snapper?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Well, listen, I'm glad you finally called in, Madeline. Hope you're going to call again.
Oh, absolutely will. I love your show, and I think it's a tremendous service.
Spread the word.
I do.
Okay.
Often.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay. All right. Let's do Joe, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, well, even though President Bush is, you know, hot, I bet because he's a man of such high morals, he ain't going around.
Now, be careful. You're talking about the President of the United States. Remember, Joe, it's okay to lie about sex if you're the president. I'm sorry. It's not okay. We will impeach you if you lie about sex. But if you lie about having a war, we'll just all stand back and say you're hot.
Yeah, well, you know, he's such a man of high morals. I bet he's not getting it on with a 19-year-old intern, and he's never put cocaine up his nose, and he was not AWOL for the last 17 months of his National Guard duty during the Vietnam War. But, I am a little interested in the whole concept of weapons of mass destruction. When did this term first came up? Who thought of it?
I don't know who came. I hate it. It makes me gag. I'm sure somebody in the Bush crime family, I would assume. I don't know. It might have been somebody. It might have been Bismarck, you know, 90 years ago. I have no idea who first came up with it. But it's one of those phrases that it just, I don't know, it sticks in my throat.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, to me, I would think weapons of mass destruction, just right off, I would think, well, that could only just mean like nuclear weapons, right? But, I mean, but they talk about, well, if we find some anthrax or some chemical weapons.
You know, to me, an AK-47 or a Kalashnikov is a weapon of mass destruction. I mean, what does it take to be a weapon of mass destruction? Anything that is fires automatically, to me, is and has a clip more than 9 bullets, to me, that's a weapon of mass destruction. Dude.
Well, yeah. Well, but then again, if that was the case, I mean, then we should be invading just about every country in the world.
Well, that's coming.
yeah, I know, we're picking on the Iraqis, you know.
Well, it's because it's like that old joke. You know, it's the middle of the night, guy's down on his hands and knees under a lamppost, and it's obvious he's looking for something. Cop walks by and says, what are you looking for? The guy says, I'm looking for my keys. The cop said, oh, did you drop him? No, I dropped him over there where it's dark. Well, why are you looking here? Because there's light here. It's that kind of idiocy. He attacks Iraq because Iraq can't fight back. Not only do they not have weapons of mass destruction, there it is again, but they don't have an army, they don't have an air force, they don't have a navy. What the hell happened? The U.S. military, the most powerful force ever put together in the history of this terrible species called human beings, and they walk over a third world country, and that's a glorious victory? That's a mission accomplished? Jesus, let's attack Paraguay next. No, wait, they have an army. Let's attack, I don't know, Zambia. Does Zambia have an army? Oh, they probably do. I know, Tibet.
Rocks or something.
Tibet. Let's go after Tibet. That would be a walkover, too. No, wait, the Chinese are there. Oh, geez, I don't know. I guess Iraq just happened to get the short straw, right?
Yeah, well, I could tell you what the basic story is with these women who seem to think that President Bush is so hot.
Now, remember, this is family radio.
No, I ain't going to say anything dirty, but, I mean, they think he's hot because he's a phony, and they happen to be phony themselves.
Well, I think only Republican women who are just beat into a mold by, figuratively speaking and psychologically speaking by their Republican husbands, they are taught what to say by their men. They are taught what to believe, and God forbid they should step out of that mold. This is the trade-off. If you're a Republican woman, you have to learn to do certain things and say certain things, and regarding other issues, keep your mouth shut. Just make sure that the food's on the dinner table, and you know, you're in the sack in a negligee when hubby comes home from one of his business trips, right?
Yep. Yeah, well, just remember, we need stupid women in this country, but because who else would marry the stupid men and have their children?
Thanks, Joe. Oops, I hung up before you did. Thanks, Joe, our bureau chief from where at in Oregon? Someplace out there. We're at 800-TALK-YES if you like to join in. Another hour has flown by. Barbara Boxer, Democratic senator from California, suggested Sunday on CNN's Late Edition that there might have been hanky-panky involved in the awarding of these contracts to Cheney's Halliburton to take over the oil fields. Barbara Boxer says that's hanky-panky. No, hanky-panky, Barbara, is when, when the fifth grade middle school teacher has a little kissy face with the coach behind the field house. That's hanky-panky. This is not hanky-panky, Senator Boxer. This is fraud, deception, and thievery on a massive scale. Barbara Boxer says, well, I think there might have been a little hanky-panky. This is part of our Democratic Party, by the way.
I have to regain my confidence, so I got into camouflage. The girls, they love to see you shoot.
I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform. I love a man in uniform.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights Cuda on Mundi. IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Ostrich. Right,
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Come, Firebats.
Yeah.
Zebra.
the Mr. Rogers parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
That's all, folks.
God. Barry in Montgomery emailed in during that break about my point that once the Bush crime family realized they could steal the election, then they can get away with damn near anything, even stuffing socks and ball bearings down the front of Bush's flight suit. But Barry says, no, I think it goes back further than the election of 2000. I think that Iran-Contra showed this group that they could jerk the American people around with no consequences. In fact, many of the American people sent faxes and telegraphs to telegrams to Ali North and called him a hero. Ronald Reagan was said to have stated that if the American people found out what went on, quote, we'll all be hanging by our thumbs, end quote. The fact that they weren't found out only emboldened the subsequent pack of thieves. Well, Barry's right. One of the greatest cover-ups in the history of this republic, until the present time, of course, the Bush crime family has redefined some of these hideous superlatives. But the greatest cover-up in the history of the republic up to the Bush crime family was what happened during the so-called Iran-Contra affair. 200,000 people slaughtered in Central America, arms deals against the law with the Iranians, funding terrorists in Central America, the slaughter of priests and nuns and archbishop workers, people seeking social justice for the quote peasants unquote of Central America. And it was all covered up. And the people most responsible for that slaughter are either now radio talk show hosts or working deep in the bowels of this filthy Bush administration. People like Elliot Abrams, Negroponte, Otto Reich. It just goes on and on. Poindexter. God. And then, of course, you have the despicable Oliver North, an absolute disgrace to the uniform of the U.S. military and a stain on the Marine Corps, who now has a talk show host and has a company that makes bulletproof vests. Is that what he does? These filthy, filthy. And none of them went to prison. Casper Weinberger, another one. Okay. We have a break here. And during the next hour, Tom Daschle, over the weekend on Media Whore number one, Tim Rutzert's program on, what is it, Face the Nation? Huh? Meet the Press. NBC's Meet the Press. So stick around for that. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day. On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Kelly Freeman. A Chinese-American U.S. government informant accused of acting as a double agent for the People's Republic of China and a former FBI agent pleaded not guilty in Los Angeles Monday. Katrina Leung is charged with stealing classified government documents, and James Smith is facing wire fraud charges. Leung's attorney, Janet Levine, comments on the case.
It's a case about a woman who over 20 years dedicated her life to this country. That if you read the indictments together, what you see is that she acted as directed by the FBI.
The pair are being tried separately in July. If convicted, Smith could face 40 years in prison and Leung 50 years behind bars. Two wanted members of Saddam Hussein's regime were captured on Monday. First, the woman known as Dr. Germ, accused of developing Iraq's germ warfare program. She's a trained microbiologist with a doctorate from a British university. She's married to Iraq's oil minister, who surrendered to U.S. forces late last month. Also captured was number 11 of the Pentagon's most wanted list, the Iraqi Armed Forces Chief of Staff. He was the jack of spades in the deck of cards. It's not known if he was taken by force or surrendered. Nearly every state in the United States is taking a proactive role in educating consumers about the deadly risks associated with lead paint exposure. Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal says lead paint found in many homes built before 1978 is very dangerous.
Anyone renovating or repainting ought to be plainly forewarned and forearmed. Lead paint is enemy number one among environmental hazards for children. Protective gear, such as special vacuum cleaners or respirators, can help save lives and health.
The attorneys general of 46 states signed an agreement with the National Paint and Coating Association to provide warning labels on paint cans. And with a flash and a loud blast, a simulated dirty bomb detonated Monday in Seattle. It's part of the government's test of how emergency crews can handle terrorist attacks. Coming up, the Los Angeles Lakers coach is back on the court. This is IE America Radio News.
Watch it.
Down in front. Hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours of back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me. My friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask
the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Only 2 days after undergoing angioplasty, L.A. Lakers coach Phil Jackson returned to the practice floor Monday.
We're just talking about one particular aspect of my heart that was suffering from, and it's a major artery, obviously. It was suffering from the loss of blood, and he said it's a new lease on life for me, and I'm happy to be here.
He missed the Lakers' win over the Spurs on Sunday that tied their best-of-seven semifinal series at 2 games each, but will be with the team for Game 5 Tuesday in San Antonio. This is IE America Radio News.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The nominations for the 2003 Tony Awards in New York City are in. Two-time Tony Award-winning actor John Lithgow and actress Melanie Griffith were on hand to announce the nominees at Sardi's. Lithgow was the first to announce the nominees for Best Performance by a Lead Actress in a Production.
Melissa Errico for Amour, Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio for Man of La Mancha, Elizabeth
Parkinson for moving out, Bernadette Peters for Gypsy, and Marissa Jarrett Winoker for Hairspray.
Awards will be presented June 8th in a live broadcast from Radio City Music Hall. And stocks climb Monday along with investors betting that better economic times are close at hand. Companies like Cisco Systems and Microsystems helped spark the rally. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed more than 122 points to 8727. The S&P 500 jumped 11 points to 945. And the NASDAQ surged ahead 21 points to 1541. I'm Kelly Freeman, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, Anti-Lock Braking Systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With Anti-Lock Brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. Penny in Chattanooga sent me an email. There's going to be an anti-war march from Grant Park here in Atlanta to King Memorial Center on June 7th. That's, 3 weeks? So we'll be announcing this again several times. So if you live in the Atlanta area, just June 7th, what is that, a Saturday, Kathy? You think? Okay. From Grant Park to the King Memorial Center, no to endless war, the South speaks out.
Yeah, South speaks out. Hey, y'all, we don't want no damn war.
June 7th here in Atlanta. We'll announce that more, Penny. Thanks for sending it to us. And from Doc, the meaning of a billion. Now, you know, Bush wants another $739 billion tax cut for the top 10% of money people in this country. Actually, it's more like a trillion, but that's the number he's pushing. 700 plus billion. Now, a billion is a difficult number to comprehend. You know, we can sit here and say all day it's 1,000 million or whatever. Or 1,000,000. But one advertising agency did a good job of putting that figure into perspective. Check this out. A billion seconds ago, it was 1959. A billion minutes ago, Jesus Christ was still alive. A billion hours ago, it was the Stone Age. A billion dollars ago, it was only 8 hours and 20 minutes at the rate Bush spends it. And he talks to Congress about fiscal responsibility. Yeah, that's pretty good. A billion minutes ago, Jesus was alive. A billion hours ago, it was the Stone Age. Yikes! Well, Doc, I had no idea. None whatsoever.
Nelson is calling from Syracuse, New York. Nelson, haven't heard from you for a while. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Did you miss me?
Did I miss you? Oh, yeah. What's up, Nelson?
You did. Two things, actually. First of all, I am sick and tired of your fixation on Bush's penis. You've got to get over it.
Well, I think we need to get Ken Starr and, investigate Bush's crotch the same way they investigated. No, never mind. I retract all of that. No. I'm fed up with it and tired as you are. I don't know who started this. It was this columnist that, who was it, Dave, from San Francisco called in tonight, read some of this columnist who said she thought W was just so hot in his suit, and then got emails from Stepford women who said, oh, yeah, he just makes me feel funny. But anyway, that's not why you really called in.
No. I wanted to talk about W's inability to articulate anything.
Well, yeah.
And I remember another president from about 15 years ago that could speak, but he did so in a way that you couldn't tell what he was saying.
You're talking about Daddy Bush?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
He was a master of no speak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was so good at it that I swear he drove the 88 elections because Dukakis tried to emulate his style. Huh. You couldn't tell what either of them was saying. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
It wasn't till Clinton and Gore came along.
Right.
They floored me.
Well, you know who else had trouble with the English language, believe it or not? Now, I don't remember this, and neither do you, but I've read about it. Was Eisenhower. If you read some of the, critiques of the Eisenhower administration, Eisenhower had a hell of a time trying to put a coherent thought together, too. So maybe it's something that runs with Republicans. I don't know.
With Eisenhower, it didn't really matter because nothing happened in the 50s anyway.
Well, there was a lot happening, but it was all below the radar so that nobody noticed it. No, you're right. Pappy Bush had a way of mangling the English language that was just, at the time, it seemed kind of weird, but Bush Jr., he goes beyond mangling the English language of Nelson. He can't put together a thought. And that's one of the characteristics I've been told. I have friends who are AA, friends who have been not drinking. I forget the terminology in AA, but they've been not drinking, one for 7 years and one for 13 years. And they have told me that Bush displays all the characteristics of a dry drunk who has not gone through the 12-step process of coming to terms with his addiction. What he's done is just substitute one addiction for another. He has substituted power and death and destruction for his alcoholism or his drug addiction. And I'm not going to argue with somebody who's an AA. They know what they're talking about.
I agree. The difference between Baby Bush and Pappy Bush is Pappy Bush mangled the language on purpose. And Baby Bush just had no idea how to use the English language.
Or the Spanish language, if you listen closely when he tries to talk Spanish. Español. Hey, listen, Nelson, thank you for checking in. Don't be a stranger. I haven't heard from you for months.
Okay. I only like to call when I feel I have something pertinent to say.
Well, that's good. That's a good attitude to have. Thanks, Nelson.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir. Take care. Back just momentarily to Barbara Boxer. She said on CNN's Late Edition on Sunday that she thinks She suggested that there was hanky-panky. That's her term. Hanky-panky might have been involved in the awarding of all these contracts to Dick Cheney's Halliburton and Brown and Root. I love the way CNN reports it. Speaking on CNN's late edition, Senator Boxer did not accuse the vice president of wrongdoing, but she said it was wrong to award an open-ended contract worth up to $7 billion to Halliburton Company's subsidiary, Kellogg Brown and Root, without competitive bidding. The senator said, quote, I don't believe it is right to have a sole source contract that goes on and on and on and on. For emergencies, it's fine. After 90 days, well, you know, you bid it out. And when I say hanky-panky, I mean it, because the bottom line is the taxpayers have a lot at stake. Now, this is, okay, so Barbara Boxer is not Tom Daschle. It doesn't have to be. Tom Daschle is Tom Daschle. But the hanky-panky, can you, I mean, is there a wimpier term than hanky-panky? Barbara, hanky-panky, like I said before the break, is when the shop teacher and the gym teacher sneak out behind the field house and do a little kissy face in the afternoon during study hall. That's hanky-panky. What is going on with the Bush crime family and Dick Cheney and Halliburton and Kellogg Brown and Root and the destruction and reconstruction and subsequent destruction and reconstruction of various countries around the planet? Now it's Iraq. That, Senator, is not hanky-panky. Democratic Party, 2004. Oh, here I go. Now I'm just going to thoroughly piss off the Democrats out there. If this nonsense doesn't stop, if people like Barbara Boxer stop labeling this hanky-panky and call it criminal activity, the Democrats might as well kiss the Oval Office goodbye for another 12 years, or maybe permanently. And as far as the Congress, the House, and the Senate, forget about it. It's gone. It's gone, Democrats. It's gone forever. Hanky-panky? What the hell kind of a term is that? Who is Barbara Boxer talking to? The American public? With a term like that? You want some hanky-panky, Senator? James Woolsey, former CIA boss, and one of too stupid to be president's advisors, is the director of a U.S. firm aiming to make millions on this war on terror. He's a member of the Pentagon's Defense Policy Board, Senator, and director of the Washington-based private equity firm Paladin Capital. That company was set up 3 months after the terrorist attacks on New York, and it sees the events and aftermath of September 11th as a business opportunity, Senator! Is that what you mean by hanky-panky? Is that what you mean? Paladin. Run by James Woolsey, former CIA boss, raised $300 million from investors by the end of this past year because there is $60 billion in anti-terrorism tax money sloshing around in this country, and these monsters want a piece of it. Is that hanky-panky, Senator? In 2001, Assistant Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz sent Woolsey to Europe, where Woolsey argued the case for links existing between Saddam Hussein and Al-Qaeda, and he was one of the main proponents, Woolsey was, of the theory that the anthrax letter attacks in America came from Iraq. And we know, who perpetrated the anthrax letter attacks in this country? An American scientist, an arch-conservative, a right-winger. Is that what you mean by hanky-panky, Senator Boxer? Hanky-panky. My God. All right, if you're on hold, you're going to have to just hang with me here for a second. Speaking of people like Barbara Boxer, how about Tom Daschle on Meet the Press yesterday with media whore number one, Tim Russert? You got to hear some of this, and I'm going to play it for you coming back. And again, if you're on hold, please stay with us. We'll get your calls, but I want to play this Tom Daschle nonsense. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'm sick of you. They arrested the mayor for an illegal favor, sold the Empire State to Japan. And Oliver North married William C. Corden Draper to little Tehran. And the Ayatollah bought a nuclear warship. If he dies, he wants to go out in style. And there's nothing to eat that don't carry the stink of some human waste dumped in the Nile. But one thing is certainly true. No one here knows what to do. And I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You're listening.
listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. All right. You know, statements from Barbara Boxer, statements from Tom Daschle, statements from Joe Lieberman, and a lot of people wonder why I'm down on the Democratic Party leadership. Please make that distinction, okay? When you send me the emails telling me I'm a traitor and, hurting the cause, no, I'm not. I'm a Democrat. I'll always be a Democrat. But when you have people like Barbara Boxer calling this massive criminal activity by the Bush crime family hanky-panky, oh, please. So here's Daschle, the Senate Majority Leader, on Meet the Press with media whore number one Tim Russert yesterday. And Daschle, I want you to listen to him just lay down here for the he puts on his pink tutu and he lays down for the Republicans where it concerns the national debt. Russert asks this. The debt ceiling, our national debt is now approaching $7 trillion. The country could default in the next few weeks. Will the Senate approve an extension of the debt ceiling, increasing the debt ceiling?
I suspect that it probably will. These are debts that have already been incurred, and we have no real choice but to do it. But I do believe that we ought to look at the overall amount, how much we are increasing the debt. I think we ought to look at why we're increasing the debt. We ought to avoid having to increase it to that extent this soon.
Quack, quack, quack. You sound like the Aflac duck, Daschle. I suppose that it probably will, that the Senate will continue to make room for the financing of the Bush crime family, and you call yourself the opposition, you call yourself the Senate minority leader, the Democratic Party leader, and you say you have no real choice but to go ahead and do it. This is the former Senate majority leader, now the Senate Minority Leader. This is Tom Daschle. We have no choice but to go along with this. Yes, you have choices, Daschle. Damn it, you have choices. You have dozens of choices. Oh, God, calm down, Malloy. In Daschle's mind, of course he doesn't have a choice.
Yes, well, we're going to roll over and just hope that George is gentle with us.
Now, the supposed opposition leader of the Senate answering Russert's next question. The question is, why don't the Democrats come forward with a plan that says we're going to repeal the Bush tax cut of 2001? Now, let me stop a second. This is Tim Russert. Okay? He's handing Daschle what most of us, real Democrats, would say, yeah, Tom, why don't you do that? Oh, God, why don't you? Russert says, Senator, why don't the Democrats come forward with a plan that says we're going to repeal the Bush tax cut of 2001, stop all new tax cuts, and we're going to cut the following programs and guarantee a balanced budget within the next 5 years?
Well, you got to take it one step at a time. And the first step that we take is to say, let's quit digging the hole that this administration has dug for the last 2 years. Let's not add on to the deficits that Secretary Snow talked about. Let's address this tax cut in a meaningful way. We support a tax cut.
We support a tax cut. We support. You got to take it one step at a time. I'm Tom Daschle, and Tim, listen, look into my eyes, Tim. Tim, I'm up for re-election back in South Dakota. And, Tim, the opposition party has put together, I don't know, millions of dollars to unemploy my ass. So do you think I'm going to sit here in your program and say that we don't support? Of course we support a tax cut. Tim, would you like to dance? You notice my pink tutu? Would you like to get up and dance with me? We'll do a little pas de deux. We'll do a little pirouette around the studio here. George Bush is my president, Tim, just like he's your president. And we Democrats support him.
more strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two Chinese labor activists charged with subversion for organizing worker protests in the steel city of Laoyang last year have been sentenced to prison terms. 57-year-old Xiaoyun Lang got a 4-year sentence, while Yao Fuxin, age 52, will serve 7. The sentencing took place at a half-hour hearing Friday inside the prison where the two have already spent a year behind bars. Outside, a ring of riot police prevented hundreds of the men's supporters from attending. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Laoyang last March, protesting corruption in local government and at failing state-owned factories where workers had gone months without being paid. Those protests helped set off a wave of demonstrations in China's industrial provinces on a scale not seen since the Communist Revolution of 1949.
Boston police officers who don't report for picket duty could be disciplined by their union. The Boston Police Patrolmen's Association has gone since last summer without a contract and is maintaining picket lines at every public appearance of Boston Mayor Thomas Menino. In order to maintain the constant presence, the union says it'll withhold life insurance, dental coverage, and other benefits from officers who don't spend time on the line each month. While city officials have questioned the legality of the move, both the Labor Department and the Massachusetts Labor Commission have signed off on it.
As the U.S. struggles to restore basic services and a functioning government in Iraq, hundreds of workers at the country's second largest oil refinery in Basra have begun pickets against the military management. They want a say in how the refinery will be run, and they are not happy that the new supervisors installed by U.S. commanders on the scene are from Saddam Hussein's former Ba'ath Party regime. Meanwhile, nearly a million Iraqi civil service workers got $20 payments from U.S. forces this weekend. These are supposed to make up for wages lost during the invasion. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, just a couple more. Bear with me. Tom Daschle with media whore number one Tim Russert on NBC's Meet the Press yesterday. Now, here is the alleged opposition leader of the Senate answering Russert's next question. Russert says, let me turn to the situation in Iraq, Senator. The headline in the Washington Post today...
Frustrated U.S. arms team to leave Iraq. Task force unable to find any weapons of mass destruction.
Do you, Senator, think it is damaging to the credibility of the United States unless we find weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
I don't think it's damaging necessarily.
Okay, stop it right there. Stop it. Recue it. I don't think it's damaging, Daschle says. Can you believe that? Tom Daschle, Democratic Party leader, Senate Minority Leader. He He's asked a question, the subtext to which is, do you think it was okay, Senator, for the President of the United States, the Secretary of the United States, the Defense Minister of the United States, the Attorney General of the United States, the Senate Majority Leader of the United States, the House Majority Leader of the United States, all of them to lie to the world? Do you think it was okay? Do you think it damages us? And Tom Daschle says, go ahead, play it again, Kathy.
I don't think it's damaging necessarily. I think that it is important for us to continue the search. There's a story in the New York Times today that would indicate that maybe there have been some discoveries in the last couple of days that could be of consequence. We've got to keep looking. But I think we've got to recognize that there were more than one goal here. One of the other goals was to remove a threat to this country, to remove a threat to the region, to remove a person who not only repressed and tortured his own people, but clearly posed some serious problems throughout the world, and that too is a laudable goal.
So the war was worthwhile and successful.
Yes, it was.
The war was worthwhile and successful, and there you hear Tom Daschle in his own words. Yes, it was. Well, Senator Tom, if one of the other goals was to remove a threat to this country, how about let's overthrow Saudi Arabia? No, let's start with Russia. Russia still has thousands of nuclear missiles targeted on our cities. How about North Korea? That's a threat to this country. To remove a threat to the region? Well, let's see. Who would be a threat to the region? How about Turkey? Turkey's a threat to the region in their constant genocide of Kurds. To remove a person who not only repressed and tortured his own people, okay, how about Hosni Mubarak of Egypt, Senator Tom? He represses and tortures his own people. How about the Saudi royal family, Tom? They repress and torture their own people. And then Russert says, so the war was worthwhile and successful? And Senator Daschle answers, yes, it was. Now, do you understand, for those of you who might have had a problem understanding the gag reflex when I hear Barbara Boxer call what Cheney is doing and the rest of these thugs hanky-panky, and there's Tom Daschle rolling over asking Bush to scratch his tummy?
Oh, yes. Yes, Tim. I think the war was worthwhile, and I'm so glad that we won because, you know, I love George Bush, and he is our president, and he's our commander-in-chief. And did you see him land on that aircraft carrier? Damn, that was really impressive, wasn't it, Tim? So, yes, I support my president. I really do. You know, weapons of mass destruction, they haven't been found yet. Well, we just have to keep looking. They're there. They're there. You know, Tim, once when I was a little boy, I walked into, I grew up in South Dakota, and my grandparents had a few horses, and they had a stable out back on their farm. And one time my grandfather said, Tommy, you have to go out and clean the stables. And you know, I went out there, Tim, with a pitchfork, and the whole, it was just, you know, horse droppings from floor to ceiling. It was just a huge, there were three stalls in the stable, and every one of them was filled floor to ceiling with horse manure. But you know, I just knew that somewhere in there was a pony. So I got in there and I started digging around. And you know what, Tim? It took me, oh gosh, the whole summer. And I never found the pony, but you know, I know there was a pony in there. So, you know, if this wasn't family television, Tim, I could put it in more pedestrian.
There's that word again.
Terms, but you know, working in cow manure has really taught me things about I don't know, life, I guess. But I love my president. I support him, Tim. We won the war. On Daschle's earlier criticism of the war, media whore number one Tim Russert says the following.
Senator, the day before the war, March 18th, if I remember, you said some things that got you into a little bit of trouble. You said,
I'm saddened
Saddened that this president failed so miserably at diplomacy that we're now forced to war. Saddened that we have to give up one life because this president couldn't create the kind of diplomatic effort that was so critical for our country.
So I ask you, Senator, do you believe that the 145 American lives lost in Iraq were as a result of President Bush's failed diplomacy?
Well, Tim, I stand by that statement.
Yeah.
I was one of those who drafted and supported the resolution using authorizing the use of force.
Uh-huh.
Anytime we go to war, we risk lives. What else would you do? If you
yeah.
went to war and didn't risk lives, it couldn't possibly be war. You're going to lose
yeah.
lives in war.
Oh.
My point was it was a disappointment that we had to come to that point.
Oh.
We came to it. Unfortunately, we didn't have the kind of international involvement that we had 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But as disappointing as that was, we moved on to war. We won the war. And as I said, we supported the troops and supported the president as our commander-in-chief.
We won the war. And as I said, Tim, how many times do I have to say this? We supported the troops and we supported the president as our commander-in-chief. George W. Bush is my president, Tim. Just because I happen to be one of the leading Democrats doesn't mean I'm going to criticize George W. Bush. Oh, my God.
But Tim Russert, being media whore number one that he is, wouldn't leave it alone on Meet the Press. So he pushes Senator Tom just a tad.
So you won't retract those words?
I will not.
Were they ill-timed?
Well, they could have probably, if I would have known that the president was going to act as quickly as he did, I probably would have avoided making the statement at that time.
Ah, so when you're offered a chance to retract your statement criticizing your illustrious leader, you say that you won't retract it, but they're ill-timed? If you could have known that Bush was going to act like a psychopath, you might have avoided making the statement. Oh, I see, Tom. Yeah, yeah. This is the leader of the Democratic Party, Truth Seekers. Isn't he? Isn't he? He's a Senate minority leader? Oh, Tim, I support my president. Now, I don't understand all this arguing. This is just not going to get things done, Tim. You know, we Democrats have tried and tried and tried to show the American public that we're really Republicans. Now, I don't know what to say to you, Tim, that will convince you that I love my president. I'll do what my president asks me to do. It's difficult sometimes dancing around in this pink tutu, being the nice little lapdog that I am. But, Tim, come on. Fair is fair, you know? And then last, Daschle won't even take a stand or support Senator Byrd on the investigation into Bush's campaign trip on the USS Lincoln. Daschle won't even go that far. Russert says the following.
Well, Senator, your colleague, Robert Byrd of West Virginia, went to the Senate floor and said this.
This is not some made-for-TV backdrop for a campaign commercial. This is real life. And real lives have been lost. To me, it is an affront to the Americans killed or injured in Iraq for the president to exploit the trappings of war for the momentary spectacle of a speech. I do question the motives of a desk-bound president who assumes the garb of a warrior for the purposes of a speech.
Do you agree, Senator, with Senator Byrd?
Well, Senator Byrd feels very strongly about the issue. He went to the floor, as you noted, and spoke as he does always, his mind. Presidential trips are always contentious. Oftentimes they are the subject of a great deal of controversy. There have been requests that this particular trip be investigated. Let's see what the investigation brings.
Should it be investigated?
I can't comment on what specific motivation the president might have had, but let's let the investigation take its
Should
course.
Should it be investigated?
Well, it is being investigated.
Should it be?
Well, as I said, it is.
I can't comment on what specific motivation the president might have had. Well, Senator Tom, let me give you a clue. Are you so... Is there something in South Dakota in the air or the water that has totally fried your brain? You don't know what Bush's motivation
for taking a jet 29 miles out to that aircraft carrier? And I do? I know what it was, Senator Tom, and you don't?
Well, Senator Byrd feels very strongly about the issue, and, you know, he always speaks his mind. I wish I could speak my mind, but, you know, Karl Rove won't let me. So I have to sit here with you, Tim. I have to sit here with you on NBC and just hand you a paring knife and allow you to carve little notches in me, and I can't do a thing about it because I'm Tom Daschle. I'm the leading Democrat in the Senate, and I just think you're being a little bit pushy, Tim. I love my president. All of us Democrats love our president. We would do nothing to upset our president. He is a wartime president, and we won the war. Don't you understand that, Tim? And you people wonder, some of you, why these leading Democrats make me want to throw up. Lance is calling from Manhattan, Illinois.
Antidotes.
Thank you.
Jeez. You get thrown in jail in China in prison for unionizing.
Oh, yeah. You heard that on our little newscast, huh?
And the people who are running the government are funded by our corporations. I'm just so proud. I'm just so gosh darn proud to be a good old American.
Yeah, well.
You didn't mention the threat to the region. I can name one that's killed 4 peace activists in the last couple months.
Well, that would be Israel.
Oh, yeah. They run people over with bulldozers.
Let me qualify. Not really Israel. That was Ariel Sharon. Hmm. That was the IDF.
Well, if it was a person wearing an Iraqi uniform, it would have been
well,
a big to-do that they're killing unarmed Americans.
Yeah, I certainly understand.
Well, I'm sorry. I just got a little depressed listening to you about that pretend Democrat. And the emails that were sent to you, it's going to come apart in our group. We're going to have it's got to, because we cannot keep supporting these people. I called originally about Dennis Kucinich. I know you're out of time almost, but I'll go real quick.
Okay.
He presented his health care package for universal single-payer health care, which would cover every child in America within a 3-year time period and every person in America in a 10-year time period. It'd be a 7.7% employer tax, but there'd be an elimination of the money that corporations pay now for health care.
Oh, yeah, they come out way ahead.
Yes.
Sure.
And then the other place he would get funds would be to eliminate $245 billion in corporate loopholes.
Uh-huh.
Now, without going into details, because I just saw it, it just came out, but it sounds pretty good, pretty democratic. Now, the day this package is presented by Dennis Kucinich, Joe Lieberman, John Kerry, John Edwards, and Bob Graham scream, "No! It'll never work!"
Right.
They haven't looked at it yet. I mean, they haven't looked at it for a day yet. They're saying this the same day it's presented.
Well, those three candidates you just mentioned, obviously, they don't dare piss off the money bags from the pharmaceutical industry, from the medical industrial complex, from all these organizations that they have to go to, these Democrats, to get money. They're not going, you know, Dennis Kucinich, you know, he should sit down and shut up before, thank God, media is marginalizing him, because this guy could cost us the White House.
He could cost the Republicans and the corporations that have ruined this country a whole lot of pain, and I am sick of Democrats pretending they don't like this guy or they're just ignoring him, and then getting on people like you for standing up for democratic principles, calling you a traitor.
Yeah, right.
Who's the freaking who? Tom Daschle's a traitor. My God, what a gutless turd! Why did he even run for office if he's not going to do anything once he gets there? Put somebody in charge with some. I can't say it.
Well, with some integrity. Of course you can say integrity. With some Democratic Party principles.
Mm-hmm.
A Democratic leader who will take off the pink tutu that Bart Kopp has put on him, who will stand up like somebody who believes in Democratic Party principles. And if he doesn't believe in Democratic Party principles, how about just American principles? That you don't take the mightiest military in the history of the human race and attack a third world country with not only no provocation, but no reason. How about just starting there? How about fighting for single-payer health care? How about fighting for wage increases for hourly work? You know, there are so many things that Daschle could do, but Daschle's not going to do any of it because Daschle is a politician, and after all, Lance, he has a re-election coming up. He's got to get re-elected, dude, or he'll be...
It's disgusting because most people would support what... Most people would be in favor of this universal health care, but the way it's just peed on before it's even given a chance. It's very reminiscent of what they did to Clinton.
Well, now, Lance, I think, listen, this is Senator Daschle, and I think what you're talking about is communism, and I am not in favor of communism. Lance, thanks for checking in.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call. We in the Democratic Party, we don't like communism. We support our president. After all, we did win the war, didn't we?
If I had a mind to...
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, iAmerica Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be
got all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
4 and a half before the hour. Gosh, we're just about out of time. But I just want to share with you an email that Shirley emailed in. Back to that statement from Daschle. I was one of those who drafted and supported the resolution authorizing the use of force, Daschle said. He went on to say, and I just, oh, God. Anytime we go to war, we risk lives. What else could you do? If you went to war and didn't risk lives, it couldn't possibly be a war. You're going to lose lives in a war. And my point was, it was a disappointment that we had to come to this point. Shirley emails in, disappointment? The war was a disappointment? Are these deaths disappointments? What a bastard. Ask the parents of those dead Iraqis and Americans. Daschle, you bastard. From Shirley. See, I'm not the only one that cusses. Gizmo, I am real sorry, man. I know you've been holding on forever, and you're driving around Washington, D.C., and we're just about out of time, pal.
I'm going to be real quick for you.
Okay.
Sing along with me.
Okay.
George Bush does the hanky-panky.
George Bush does the hanky-panky.
And he's got a big package, too. Hey, listen, I forgot what I was calling about. You remember?
The Iraqi TV station takeover.
Oh, yeah. Well, forget it. Hey, listen, I wrote to Patty Murray, my senator.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I sent you a copy of that letter that I sent to her.
Yeah.
And I told her that the reason I'm not voting for her and any other incumbent Democrat is because they're trying to spin the deaths of some 140 American soldiers that went into that country thinking they were protecting America from weapons of mass destruction
right.
that could be delivered to this country at
right.
any time. It was so imminent. You know, I'd be over there fighting if I believed that
sure.
garbage, you know?
Sure.
But
sure.
now they're trying to spin it where it don't matter. No, no, democracy, freedom, you know, we're going to give the Iraqi people, you know, the democratic way of life. We're gonna tell you what you can see on TV. We're going to disband your bath party and we'll tell you who you can elect.
Sounds
like America, doesn't it?
It's a dark chapter, Gizmo. Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, you haven't said you hate those people tonight.
Oh, I haven't. I hate
no.
these people. Hey, drive safely, Gizmo.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Stephanie Stryker and produced here in Atlanta, of course, by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Thank you for joining in the fun frivolity. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up.